Suns Media Day is here, training camp not too far away, and that means basketball is back. We'll break down all of what you can watch for this week and in the next couple of weeks right here on Locked On Suns. Keep it here.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. I'm your host, Brendan Kleen. You can follow me on Twitter at BrendanKleen14. Follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnPHXSuns. Basketball is back. The show is back doing every single day, Monday through Friday here. And of course, because it is a Monday, Brandon is back. He is at ZonaHoops_. Brandon, football. Wow, I don't even know what sport. I'm too locked into the Cardinals. But basketball is happening for the Suns in a week. Literally a week, we'll be talking about a Suns game. How crazy does that feel to say?
It's still insane. I mean, media day is tomorrow and the first preseason game in a week. Like, it's just snuck up on us very quick. And I think Suns fans are so used to caring about the draft lottery for like, you know, 3 months. And then, you know, the draft happens and then the regular offseason. So having this short of an offseason in what's already a shortened offseason is just crazy and amplifies it. So, you know, everyone says they're not ready, but in a way, I think once it comes, like, we're all ready for it.
I am super ready. I wasn't for a while. I was kind of nervous and like, oh, this is going to be so much, you know, to get back into emotionally and just obviously, you know, doing the work and doing the show every day and all that. I was like, am I ready? Am I ready? But honestly, watching some of these WNBA playoff games and then just thinking about, you know, like listening to preview coverage and stuff like that, I'm like, okay. I do like basketball. Like, I obviously we all love the Suns. We all love basketball. So in that way, I'm for sure ready for it. We're going to get you guys ready for training camp. I mean, next Monday, we'll be able to talk more about preseason and have a little bit of more informed opinions based on what Monty Williams and the players and everybody else says during camp. But for now, we're just going to kind of set the stage for everybody being back. So we'll go through some different things. We'll have questions actually toward the end, a couple from you guys, both on Cam Johnson. So apparently he is the hot topic. We'll touch on that to close. First, though, we'll talk about one guy who is not going to be back, and that is Devin Booker. Late breaking news, sort of, as we were getting ready to record today on Sunday, that Booker is in the health and safety protocol, will not participate in Media Day on Monday, which is in person for those of you who might have not noticed that part. Some teams are doing it virtually. Some teams are doing it in person. So because it's obviously around a lot of people, Booker will not be able to participate. So starting preseason down the camp, at least down your best player is not ideal. Brandon, what did you think when you saw the news? It kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, definitely gave me a mild heart attack to get that Shams bomb during the card. At the time, the Cardinals were losing to the Jaguars, so I was already not in a great
kicking mood. Us while we were down.
Yeah, so I saw that and had to like expand the tweet to read the whole thing. And yeah, honestly, I don't see it as like a huge deal or anything like major. I think, you know, from all accounts, it looks like he's vaccinated and he should be, you know, clearing this protocol within, you know, the next week or so. So to me, it's not a huge deal. Obviously, the timing isn't ideal. But I think they're going to try to limit his minutes anyways and like slowly ease him into camp as things were because of the offseason that he did have going to like Team USA and obviously the deep playoff run, breaking his nose, dealing with the hamstring issue, all that. So in a way, it could just kind of give him some much needed rest. But at the same time, you don't want him to, you know, catch COVID or anything like that, even if he is sure. Vaccinated. So
yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with Chris Paul, right? It's like, we weren't really worried for him in any major way once we found out that he was vaccinated and everything was mostly fine for him. But it's like, it does affect people and it can linger. And with Chris Paul, I think it ended up being a little longer than most of us expected and everything else. So you just don't want it to have to happen. It's a reminder that this season is not going to be normal in the way that we might have expected. These things are still going to continue to play a role for every team. And the Suns are just getting hit early. It's probably just exposure or something like that. I don't think it's anything to necessarily freak out about, and October 20th opening night is still a long, long way away. But I think you're right, actually. That was going to be my perspective on it, is the amount of basketball that he played this summer, to have a little bit of a break, presuming he is fine, is probably not the worst thing ever. And knowing him, like, he's going to push himself if he has the ability to, if he's on the floor, if he's practicing. Like, you're not going to really tell him to, you know, take a half of a practice off or take a day off here and there, even if it might be for the best. So maybe this cools him off a little bit. I don't think that's crazy to think. You said the thing about him being vaccinated, and I'm not crazy, right? There was a report that the Suns are fully vaccinated. Where did that come from?
I could not
find it again when I was looking.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was looking for it too, and I couldn't find it again. Should have bookmarked it or something, but
I thought it might have been Gambo or somebody, but that would be good news.
I want to say it might have been in a Chris Haynes article when he was talking about the Suns and Chris Paul when he first broke that news, and he said the full team is vaccinated. That's my guess, but
yeah,
I couldn't find it anywhere either.
Yeah, we'll have to obviously, you know, try to read the tea leaves there. It's going to be something I think NBA teams are very, very tight-lipped about, especially after the Rolling Stone story from over the weekend with tidbits on Kyrie Irving and Jonathan Isaac and the mess that I think the league is finding itself in, with players having different opinions than the union and the league and everybody trying to get on the same page. So we're not going to get, you know, an upfront list of who is and who is not vaccinated. It's going to be very similar to last season, where we're just, you know, along for the ride with some of this stuff. But all things considered, I think Book will be fine. I think the break could be good for him. And I guess the only downside I see is I was kind of looking forward to, like, more chemistry and give and take between Booker and Paul. And that's something I think we'll probably talk about in the last segment, at least from my perspective, is like, can those guys find more of a balance where Book has the ball in his hands a little bit more and that type of stuff. So if either one of them were to have to miss time during camp, it does kind of suck, because this is their first camp together.
Yeah, no, that's true. And so that's why I said when it's bad timing, in that sense it is, but the good thing is this is not like a completely new team where you're trying to fit a bunch of new pieces in together. So at least they had that deep playoff run and regular season together, where a lot of their lineups were a lot more minutes than anyone else in the league really had the luxury of having. So just from a pure volume perspective. So I'm not too concerned about that, but obviously the more reps, the better. So that part does suck. But like, on the contrary, this is also probably the best time for him to go through this, because now in a way, like, he's getting it out of the way now, where he's not going to miss any games. And to me, that's a positive way to look at it. So could have been worse, but yeah, overall, I don't think it's really going to have a huge impact either way.
Agreed. Just getting that news out of the way to start things off. We are actually going to start our kind of camp preview, our initial thoughts here, with something that hasn't happened yet, and kind of gauge the temperature on if it will happen. That, of course, is the Thaddeus Young continued rumor mill. And we've been talking all summer, basically, about things that may or may not happen once people are back in town and training camp has broken. Well, we're there now, so some of these things may start to pick up. We'll talk about the Thaddeus Young, give you our confidence index, maybe rate the likelihood of such a move for a few minutes here. First, though, a quick word from Sleeper. In 2018, the fantasy sports experts at Sleeper realized the fantasy basketball mold was broken. Games were being won and lost based just on whose players happened to be playing more games that week. I think you could say the same thing about fantasy baseball. Both of them are the reason that I don't play until I found Sleeper, because what they did is they fixed it. They said, you're going to set your lineup based on one game per week. You're going to look at the players on your team, pick one of their games. That will be the one that counts, and then you win or lose that way. It makes it a lot more like fantasy football, makes it a lot less work on your part, and a lot more fun in the end, because you just set it, don't have to think about it all week, and watch the points roll in. So the game is called Game Pick, as the strategy obviously indicates. And yeah, you pick that one player, you look at the matchups, the home versus away, the defense, the pace of what that game might be, all the rest, and you just leave it there. They have redraft, keeper, and dynasty leagues. Game Picks is your one-stop shop for fantasy basketball. They have cracked the code and made the game more enjoyable for everybody. So if you love playing fantasy football, if you want a new form of fantasy basketball, you're going to love Game Picks. Download the Sleeper app wherever you get apps and start a league with your friends today. Sleeper, and that is Game Picks, the name of the league. All right, today's show also brought to you by DirecTV Stream. I'm sure this sounds familiar to everybody. You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You've got sports highlights going on your phone and your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff as well. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment that you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. The best part is there is no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. The Thaddeus Young Confidence Index. I have refrained from talking about this trade situation, honestly, that much, Brandon, because I've already said I think it's a good move. We've talked about this guy for weeks at this point. But I do think it's fair to kind of look. We were talking last week about the Suns training camp roster. They have added a couple of guys, or at least one, Chasen Randall, since we talked about him a little bit last week. But the Spurs were a team we talked about because they have a ton of players on their roster. So I think that's part of why I always thought it made sense that we might have to wait till training camp, because they just want to see what is their roster even going to look like. And I still don't feel like Thaddeus Young really makes sense there. So do you think this month of October is sort of when we finally see this thing happen?
I don't, actually.
Okay.
Even though I would love Thaddeus Young, everyone knows this, I'm the ambassador for his trade for a long time, as have you been. But I just think getting this close to camp, it's one of those things where, you know, the Spurs are very tough negotiators, just like James Jones is. So there could come a point where, I think you make a good point about training camp, where they decide if they want this guy or not, on a few guys on that, you know, on the verge of making their roster. So that could be a factor that I'm overlooking, but I just think getting this close to camp where, you know, the teams are pretty much set, it's hard to see it happening unless it just really comes together just like quick like that to where both sides finally cave in. But I could see it happening closer down the line, like towards a trade deadline, where maybe something happens like an injury, or, you know, someone's out or someone's struggling on the Suns and they feel like they need to have that pressure to add another, you know, impactful forward or wing. So as of right now, I'm going to say no, just because I don't want to, you know, set myself up for disappointment. But knowing me, like tomorrow morning, as he releases, there will be a Thaddeus Young trade.
Let's hope not, because I'm not really in the mood to do an entire reaction pod tomorrow. I like for news to break timely for me on a production schedule. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're right to say that there's it's rare that there is a trade during camp period. I mean, that's just not common, right? I mean, like even the James Harden trade, which we all knew he was basically holding out and causing an entire scene. And even that didn't happen until partway through the season, a few games into the season. So it's not common that you see I don't think Thaddeus Young is a, you know, blockbuster, but it is a pretty big trade. It would inject an entire piece into the Suns rotation. It would put a bunch of new random dudes on the Spurs roster, and it would change a lot. You're right. So I think that's fair. I guess my thing is, I just feel like if I'm Thaddeus Young and if I'm Thaddeus Young's agent and sort of group there, I would be telling the Spurs, like, this situation makes no sense for me. I'm in my 30s. I've never really been on a great team, and I would like to be on one now. So please make this happen.
Yeah, definitely. So there's a lot of stuff we just don't know behind the scenes that could be, you know, agent driven or team driven that is holding this thing up. So there could be something that's already agreed upon. There could be just one piece that's kind of holding this whole thing back, just in the details. So sometimes it takes months for that to break, and it could take the Spurs getting off to a cold start to start the season, or the Suns struggling in a certain area where they feel like they can give up that piece that the Spurs want so bad, whatever's holding it back, whether it's pick protection or, you know, whether it's a first round or a 2 second round or stuff like that. So there's a lot of moving parts in it. So it's always tough to make a trade this close to the season, especially with how this offseason is kind of so compact. Yeah, I think from Thad's point of view, whether it's to Phoenix or somewhere else, he probably wants to get this thing decided, you know, before the season starts. It makes more sense for him, but the Spurs being the Spurs, they're going to do what's best for them. They don't really care. They don't get involved in that, you know, the politics as much. There is some drama that has unfolded in the past there, but they stick to their guns. They're pretty well known for that.
But they don't make trades is what I was going to say, you know? That's what caught me so off guard. And I guess if you're going to make the sort of pessimistic case about this trade happening is that they don't do it. They just don't trade. I think literally the Kawhi Leonard trade is one of the only trades that they have made like for a decade. They quite literally, they hardly ever do this. So I guess that's a big thing. Like, do they care enough about, you know, making Thad happy, about, you know, clearing room for young guys to play, all that stuff, to go ahead and do something that's very uncharacteristic for them? I guess you could, you know, if you really wanted to be lenient, you could be like, okay, well, they know Monty Williams, so maybe they'd be more likely, but they don't do this with anybody, and there's Spurs folks all around the entire NBA. So I think that is sort of an arrow in your quiver of like not expecting that this is going to happen. You're kind of convincing me. Like, I was coming in ready to say that I do think it's going to happen just because of, honestly, the roster makeup of some of this stuff. Like, I think that the Spurs have the pieces that they might want to offload. The Suns have, obviously, the salary to get it done. They have this open roster spot, all this stuff. But I guess, yeah, now that we're here, I'm sort of going back on it. What do you think? Let me ask you this, because I think it might affect how we feel about this as well. Do you think the Spurs are they actually going to try to win again, even though they let DeRozan and Aldridge go? Like, are they really thinking this, you know, coming up into this season, we're going to gun for 500 again and see what we can do?
I do. I think they're going to focus on developing their young guys and trying to win as many games as possible, because that's kind of just what they do. And I think a lot of their guards, especially, they're kind of at the age where we could see one or two of them make a leap at some point.
They can't be terrible. Like, they're good enough at this point where they're not going to be terrible. Yeah, that's fair. Like
Jakob Poeltl and Doug McDermott. And if Thad Young plays for them and he's getting minutes, like all of a sudden, like with those guards and just a young team coached by Popovich, they're going to scrape out, you know, 40 wins. So that's, to me, they just look like the definition of like a 500 team. But
I forgot that they signed McDermott.
Yeah.
What a contract. So, I mean, he's not a bad player, but that should have told us. That should have told us back then that they still think that they're going to compete.
Yeah. We're never going to see a full Spurs rebuild while Popovich is there. I think it's kind of like that Pat Riley effect where he's going to try to win and at least keep the team competent. He doesn't want to be a joke out there. That's just the competitive edge that he has. So I think that's why you can kind of count on the Spurs. Like, you just can't count them out for that play-in spot. Even if, you know, they're not the sexiest team on paper, like they're going to come out and play. And if you fall asleep, we saw it last year, the Suns got smacked by them. So, you know, you can't sleep on them, and maybe who knows, Thad Young could be a part of their plans this year. They could be saying, you're going to have a huge role here. They could sell out to him pretty easily.
Could start. I think he might start if he's there. If he's there by opening night, I think he might start. Yeah, you're convincing me out of it, honestly. I guess you think it's less than 50-50, I feel like. You're leaning toward it's like less likely than it is.
Yeah, I would put it probably like 40-60-ish. And that's me being confident, or like generous, I should say.
Generous, yeah.
It's probably more unlikely that it happens at this point, but that's also probably me like hoping it does, just reverse jinxing myself, because I want Thad Young on the Suns. So, sure. But realistically also, it's kind of like, it's tough to like make all those things happen at once, even with this discussion going on for like months, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, obviously this number one thing to monitor, I think, outside of the extensions and then some of the on-court stuff, but busy training camp for the Suns, considering there's this trade looming over things, the extensions obviously still yet to be signed, and what is the team going to look like? So that's why we wanted to give our thoughts here. I do want to plug really quickly. We are starting on Wednesday, the 13 questions that will define the Suns season. So I already recorded one for Wednesday, so we'll give that away. And one of the other ones is, you know, what is the flexibility that the Suns have to make an in-season trade, and what are some of the permutations and possibilities there? I'm hoping to get Jake Fisher. I've been trying to land him for a while, who's been writing a ton about these Jalen Smith, Thad Young rumors for weeks now about the Suns. So, you know, hopefully I can get him before or right after a trade like this might happen. But It does seem right there, and it does seem likely that we do see the Suns make some sort of trade during the season. It's just, will it be Thad? Absolutely. Will that happen? Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. Yeah. The way this roster is set up, they're definitely making a trade. Like that's what
and they clearly don't love Jalen Smith. I mean, that's obvious. So you combine all that, it's like they have a first round pick who they don't necessarily want to be on the team, and they have this open roster spot and the salaries. Like they're going to make a trade.
Yeah. Plus the exceptions they have left. Like it just all signs point towards this offseason extending into the regular season. So they're definitely not done, whether it's that or someone else. I would put my life savings on a trade happening at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Much more exciting in-season stuff, I think, than last year, where obviously Torrey Craig became a pretty big difference maker, but that was the only noise we heard out of the Suns all season long. So with that, at least our predictions out there, I would say I'll say 50-50 just because I was a little more optimistic than you, but I think you're bending me toward the negative a little bit on it happening in the near term as well. Let's transition, though, to just like how we think the Suns will approach camp and approach the preseason. We'll have next week to really dig into the games, and we'll know a lot more based on what we hear from camp this week. But yeah, I think there's also something to be said for like, what is some of the strategy and changes we might see from this team, you know, that'll get implemented over the course of this week over at the practice facility. So get into that in just a second. First, though, a quick word from Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever, my favorite protein bar, and Built Bar likes to say the healthiest candy bar ever. And I think we're close on the fall flavors. These summer flavors have been popular. They've been excellent. I've tried them. Strawberry, orange, cookies and cream. I believe German chocolate is one of the rotating as well, but we're probably getting close to fall, and that means new flavors over at Built Bar. In addition to the everyday favorites like double chocolate, coconut, salted caramel, really just pick your favorite candy bar, imagine what's in it, like for instance an Almond Joy obviously would be the coconut, and you're bound to enjoy the Built Bar that's most closely associated. They are that delicious, they are that sweet, even though they only have about 4 or 5 grams of sugar. Somehow they've concocted this recipe to completely trick your mind. Honestly, that's what it feels like. You bite into one, it doesn't make sense that it is so low in sugar and so low in calories and could taste so good. I'm not lying. It really, truly is that way. 17 to 18 grams of protein packed into each and every one. So go back to an old favorite like coconut or double chocolate, or maybe try something new for the first time, maybe one of those summer flavors. Go to built.com when you make your purchase and use the promo code LOCKED15. To get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Today's show also brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. And during football season, all eyes are on the gridiron, and BetOnline is no exception. BetOnline, your number one spot for pro and college football action all season long. Here is how they are celebrating. Here's how you can celebrate. You're going to go to the website. Again, that's betonline.ag. Use your mobile device as well. They have an app. Make an account. And when you make your first deposit, use the promo code NFL100. That is all one word, of course, NFL100, to get a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up when you use that promo code NFL100. Of course, in addition to football, they've got basketball, boxing, Vegas casino games, and much, much more. All the time, basically constantly updating and changing and adding and all the rest. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Let's close the show out with some thoughts on how the Suns will approach camp. Pretty open-ended here, but we also have a question about Cam Johnson, which is one of the single most interesting things to me heading into camp, Brandon. But how about you? What's on your mind? What sorts of stories or thoughts or changes do you feel like we might hear about throughout this week?
There's not a lot. And I think that's a good thing. That comes with the rotation being back. Your top seven guys are back. The two like new guys you brought in, like the major additions, like Shamit and McGee, you know what they're going to give you. Like their roles are pretty set in stone. So I think in that sense, you have your top nine kind of ready to go. And that's like a luxury that I think is going to help them develop not only chemistry faster, but just get into like making adjustments and experimenting with different looks offensively and defensively in camp, just because they're not going to have to worry too much about you know, getting those chemistry reps in. Like, obviously with Shamit, you're going to want him to play a lot with Payne. I think in the preseason too, that should be a fun duo to keep tabs on. Yeah, for the most part, I think just getting everyone there, staying healthy, just not overdoing anything for Chris Paul or Devin Booker after the workloads they had. And the same could be said for DeAndre and Mikal, to be honest, just because, you know, Mikal's the Iron Man and DeAndre played such a huge role. So I think just kind of easing the main core back in slowly while also trying to balance that with developing chemistry with like the couple new pieces they did add.
So people who've been listening, and we've talked about this too, but I'm basically falling in love with Landry Shamet before I've ever seen him play. I've just like decided he's going to break out. And I do. I mean, I obviously have backed that up with, I'm not just dreaming, but I also feel like I might be going too far with it. Do you have high expectations for him? Do you feel like there's still more upside there? How likely do you think it is that we see a better version of Landry Shamet? Or as you just said, do you think it's a guy who we kind of know what we're getting and it's really going to be more of a role player?
Yeah, so I think the thing with him, I would be higher on him having a breakout year if the Suns didn't already have such a good three-man guard rotation. Like, the minutes could be tough for him at times when everyone's healthy, because even with Payne last year, at times it was tough to get him minutes. Yeah. So I think that's the only thing that'll hold him back. But I love the fit. I think his shooting is going to help with everything on the court that they do. So adding someone like that to help space the floor and like that second unit with Payne, Johnson and Shamit, to me is like that trio. You're not going to find a better one. And then McGee in the dunker spot, just, you know, he's always in the right spot at the right time. So I think with Shamit spacing, we're going to see some runs by that second unit where they just overwhelm other teams' second units. And like I said, I've said this before on the pod, I just love the guard versatility. All four of them can play with each other. So in any combination. So yeah, I'm really excited to see it come together. It's just, you can't really build a better guard rotation than that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good place to start, because I was, you know, kind of thinking as we were about to record, I'm like, what do I reasonably think that they might change? Because I do think like they have to look different than they did last year. And I think Monty is, he's already shown how different he looked from, obviously, you know, New Orleans and everything to now. And even from, you know, the Ricky Rubio led offense to the Chris Paul led offense, he was able to implement a bunch of new stuff. So I think they will look different. And I think that's actually a place where it might happen pretty early, is multiple guards on the floor at one time, because you said Payne hardly played last year at times. And that's true. But once he started playing with Chris Paul a little bit more in the playoffs, I think I looked it up and like 8% of his possessions on the floor during the regular season came with Paul. In the playoffs, it was 25% of his minutes came with Chris Paul on there, or possessions with Chris Paul is there as well. So if you start to think like Shamit could be playing with Devin Booker, or, you know, some three out of the four of them being on the floor at once going really small, that is a way where you start to think, well, these guys can get out there. You can have the shooting that they all provide. I probably trust those four more than I trust Abdul Nader, unfortunately for Abdul Nader. And I think you could help them push the pace a little bit. And that's another thing I think you probably want to do a little bit this year. They were 26th last season. I'm not saying it was a problem. They were great. But I think you want to have a little bit more diversity to your offense. So maybe getting Shamit and Payne out there with the stars is a good way to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And I do think we'll probably see some more three-guard lineups too, just because of how successful it was in certain matchups. So, you know, whether it's Payne, Booker, and Paul, or, you know, Shamit, Payne, and Booker, like there's a lot of different ways you can find minutes for him. But yeah, I mean, even last year for Payne, like 18 minutes a game in the regular season. But like you said, once they figured out that he could play alongside both of them and like his confidence started to grow, it was really clicking. So I think they'll find a way to get Shamit at least, you know, 15, 20 minutes a night. And from there, it's just about what he makes of the opportunities. But I think in this offense, like the way he plays, it's going to be such a perfect fit. And him and Cam on the floor at the same time, spacing the floor, is going to open up a lot for Payne. And I think it's just going to be beautiful to watch.
Yeah, hopefully. I think those guys are also, you know, just being younger and everything else, you do want to, I guess I always say Payne is young. He's inexperienced more so than he's young. And then Shamit also, obviously, I think he's about 25. So you want to at least see what those guys can be. You don't want to, you know, stagnate their development if there's something there. So we'll see if to what extent they play together, and and how all of that looks. But I think that's probably something that they'll want to give a long look to build off of what we saw in the postseason. But let's get to these questions. Basically, I feel like the gist is, you know, how likely is it that Cam Johnson gets more of Jay Crowder's minutes? And did Cam Johnson show enough to earn those minutes? If you want to shout out the people who asked the questions on Twitter, love to do that as well, Brandon. But what do you think? What do you think about Cam? Because I think this is number 1A of the things that I am most interested in heading into the camp and preseason is what is Cam Johnson's role and will it grow?
Yeah, I think he will overtake Jay Crowder as at least their closer. I'm not sure about the starter. And I do think a lot of it's going to be matchup driven. Like, there is times where Cam can struggle to guard bigger wings and forwards. So that's something to monitor. Like, if they're playing a bigger team, you know, maybe Crowder gets the edge in that regard. But
sure, the Lakers or even like the Cavs, teams that play two bigs, you're probably going to have Crowder out there. Yeah.
Yeah, but in these typical like small ball stretch, like space of four lineups, I think you're going to see Cam close a lot of games out. So I do think eventually it's his spot. And I think him and Nathan make a lot of sense together with kind of what they can do offensively and defensively. But that's going to take him and Mikal to both put on some strength and be able to show they can guard those more physical forwards, even if they're not, you know, big forwards. Sometimes just those power small forwards, which I know that's kind of like an oxymoron, but those
the bigger wings, right? Yes. I mean, like, if they had to defend Kawhi Leonard, right? Yeah. Like, that would have been a nightmare for this team. Unfortunately, exactly. They got lucky. They didn't have to do that, but those types of guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do think he's shown a lot in the playoffs and there is room for him to grow and show more offensively. It's just going to come with time. And like any young player, you can't count on them too much. And that's kind of the luxury they have is they don't have to, like, everyone else is getting, this is just such a team effort and across the board. Yeah, shout out to, I'll try to get these ats. It's Odell Beckham Jr. and Ian Nemeth asked the two Cam questions. So shout out to you guys. There's another
question. I'm so glad I asked so we could get the first at out there.
that's why you asked, isn't it?
He deserved it, honestly. I think, then, yeah. What's up?
There's one more question.
Okay, let's do it.
The big guy. Prediction on this season's record. So I'll put you on the spot. What do you think?
Okay. Well, I'll give the, since this is completely being put on the spot, I will give my a prediction, but I will very much couch it in that I am 100% allowed to change it. And I will do a real one heading into opening night, but
that's,
we know nothing. There will be injuries or whatever. So I won't hold myself to this, but I mean, they're going to win 50 plus games. I mean, that's a given. I think they could win 55 plus games. Honestly, I really think like the betting, the over-unders for betting are underestimating this team. I just see no reason why they shouldn't maintain their pace from last year's regular season. And they could be even better. They were 9-9 at one point last year, right? They're not going to start that slow unless something crazy happens. And if they just are as good as last year, then that means they'll be even better because they won't start slow. So I don't know, like I'll say 57, and I know that's high, but like, I really think it's possible.
Yeah. I'm going to go 55 just because I think that's still winning a lot of games first off, but
I know it's like you get close to 60 and you're like, I don't even want to put this out there because it's so ridiculous, but why not? Why would they not?
Yeah. Cause I mean, they won 51 last year with, you know, less games. So it's, they're bound to, I think 50 is kind of a lock. Like, I've already placed a bet on that over under.
Perfect.
It's easy money to me as long as everyone's healthy. Obviously there's external factors, but yeah, I think if this team's healthy, they can win anywhere from 55 to 60 games. I'll go conservative with 55 just because the West is a pain and now they're going to have a target on their back because you're the defending Western Conference champs. That's something they've never had. They were able to catch some teams off guard a little bit at times last year, I think. And now this year, I think teams are going to get up for them. So that's something they're going to have to adjust to on the fly. But I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. There just could be a couple more trap games that, you know, just a young team loses just because they're maybe not a little too cocky, but just takes the opponent a little bit too lightly. While on the contrary, that team's just amped up for that game.
Sure. Yeah, we saw that even last year when they just didn't didn't handle bad teams. They were not good against under 500 teams. So some of that stuff happens. But if they were to win the same percentage of their games that they won last year during a 72-game season this year, they would win 58. So, you know, we're both under that pace, and we're both agreeing they're probably unlikely to start as slowly as they did. On the other hand, they're probably unlikely to have such a great health season like they did last year. And that's the big unknown. It's impossible to project for. But, you know, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Booker missed a few games. DeAndre Ayton, basically every single key player was healthy for the entire season. That's rare and unlikely. So, you know, you do have to couch it a little bit there. But I just think they're going to be pretty bulletproof during the regular season and, you know, be gunning for home court again. But I love that our listener, every time there's a mailbag, we always, nobody wants to ask a very minute question. It's always, you know, how many games is this team going to win? What's the trade that's coming and who's going to win the finals and everything else? So I love it. I'm not even criticizing, but it is hilarious and very predictable. That'll close us out, though. What can we watch from you, Brandon, at Brightside, at Zona Hoops, as we get the season rolling?
So one quick thing to add on, a little mic bomb. I guess he's watching Devin Booker's Twitch, and he is looking healthy live on Twitch and just saying okay. He feels fine, but he has no taste or smell. So you heard it here first from
So he does have COVID. Twitter. Okay. Well, that sucks for him. That's Mike Vigil.
Yeah.
Okay. So well, shout out Mike Vigil for doing on the ground reporting, very hard nosed investigative journalism there. But that'll close us out. What do you want to plug here? What can people keep an eye out for written wise from you this week?
So when you're done listening to this, go check out, actually just recorded with Mike and Sam, the final episode of their internal development with Campaign. We talked about him for about an hour, 10 minutes. So it was the ultimate Campaign hype train. So check that out. And then October 5th, the Sunnies will be on live TV, I guess you could say, on YouTube. So at 7 p.m. So check that out. But yeah,
and that's on the PHNX Suns YouTube page.
Yeah, they'll be hosting that. So I'll be there with Lindsay, Gerald, and Espo doing that show. So it should be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, everybody go subscribe over there. If you haven't already, I mean, even aside from the Sunnies, they'll be doing stuff all week, I'm sure, as well. They've been doing awesome content. We love them and their team. But we can talk more about that. I think our next show will be before then, so we can really make sure everybody is aware and plug that. But man, it is crazy to say that Suns basketball is here. Like I said at the top, I still can't technically wrap my head around it, but whether I like it or not, it is the reality. That'll close us out for today. Enjoy Media Day. I'll give you my thoughts on Tuesday morning for all of you from what we hear from the Suns facility, and then the 13 questions that will define the Suns season will start on Wednesday. So busy week, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you guys are too. Talk to you tomorrow.